And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, each into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one to another, Let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard as it was told unto them. It was Robert Frost who wrote, Home is where you go there, they have to take you in. And home for Christmas is the sentiment of these reflections tonight. Home for Christmas, a sentiment that has been played out in Hallmark cards, Whitman samplers, music, Frank Capra movies, and also movies with a great deal more sarcasm and stress as families who are what families are, deal with all that home for Christmas can come to mean. In thinking about that, it occurs to me that home for Christmas is less about a place than it is about a sequence of gifts, a sequence of gifts that in some sense define the course of our lives. When I think of home for Christmas, I imagine what a gift it is when I sort of unwrap the memory of the first home I remember as a child. It's not the first home I lived in my hometown, but I don't remember that one. Nor is it the last. Our family moved to a much bigger one. But the home I remember as a child is the one where, even now when I visit in my hometown and I take the opportunity to do my daily exercise, I run past it. That's the route I take, past that house, hoping maybe there'll be somebody in the yard and maybe I can stop and say, you know, can I just look in for a second? Because I haven't since the day I left that home when I was 8 years old. I would like to go in and soak up the memory a little bit. I can still recall the floor plan. It was just a square sort of cheese box house with four rooms and a bathroom, and that was about it. The basement where I learned to roller skate and where we played pin the tail on the donkey at my fourth and fifth and sixth and probably birthday party. I remember the yard that was perfectly sized for wiffle ball bats and the garage that hung the swing that had to be moved out of the way. It was a single car garage back in those days. There are so many things that I can call to memory that it gives me a sense of groundedness, the gift of home. The neighborhood was full of kids. The streets where we played kickball and football, depending on the season, and softball and all the rest. home in that sense, the home of my childhood, is a gift that I can unwrap every time I close my eyes and remember it. Christmas is as good a time as any to practice the good feeling you get from just being able to do that. Go home for the holidays in a quiet time. Remember. Now, it is also true that the childhood homes of everyone don't have those sort of idyllic memories. And I will tell you that the idyllicness of what I just described is largely revisionist history. But we're here. We've made it to and through the entire mixed bag of what childhood is not, what we wish it was, and all that it could be and was. So go home for the holidays and remember. Remember the home of your childhood. Home for the holidays is a gift we can unwrap as we experience, even today, the home we have made with one another and the home we have made for others. The home in which I live now looks decidedly different than when I moved into it. It has had its nest feathered over the years with varieties of furnishings and remodelings and many other such things. It's a place that every year we try to feather a little bit more, not to increase its resale value, but to increase its hominess to us. It is the experience of living at home with someone who loves us that is worth recalling and giving thanks as a gift, home for the holidays. These homes we have made with one another are also homes we have made for others as well. Jeannie moved to Lubbock in the year 2000, and Lindy moved to Lubbock 4 months later. And the room that is now our guest room, technically, is still known as Lindy's room and will always be. We made a home for her there for a brief period of time, and had she not chosen to come, well, the little three-year-old sitting over there in what is essentially the first row on this side would not exist. For Lindy came to Lubbock and found the love of her life, and Lily is their child. Home for the holidays involves pondering a little bit how decisions that seem ordinary or even haphazard have consequences in ways you cannot begin to imagine. As homes that we experience with one another, homes we have created for others, and the remnants of all the homes where we have called home continue to be. I still have stuff on a shelf in my home today that was on the shelf in my room in that home that I told you about a couple minutes ago. So there's a level of continuity in both the memory and the experience of home for the holidays, the homes we continue to feather, the homes we have made for others. And finally, there is home for the holidays that we unwrap anticipation. And in this sense, I'm talking about the home that Jesus came to experience and to prepare for us. His life mirrors ours in many amazing ways, really. Mary and Joseph went home for the holidays to be taxed, wound up without a home, essentially, and made a home for Jesus and each other in a barn. Jesus lived his life with us and for us. And before he died, promised he would go to prepare a place for us. And that is the home toward which we look with anticipation. In 1997, a woman named Wanda Benke wrote a little poem called "I'm Spending Christmas with Jesus Christ This Year." It was written to honor her recently late 15-year-old daughter, who had been born with birth defects and lived as long as she could, and died peacefully. And in 1997, Wanda Benke wrote these words. "I see the countless Christmas trees around the world below, with tiny lights like heaven's stars reflecting on the snow. The sight is so spectacular. Please wipe away that tear, for I am spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I hear the many Christmas songs that people hold so dear, but the sounds of music can't compare with the Christmas choir up here. I have no words to tell you of the joy their voices bring, for it is beyond description to hear the angels sing. I know how much you miss me. I see the pain inside your heart. But I am spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I can't tell you of the splendor or the peace here in this place. Can you just imagine Christmas with our Savior face to face? I'll ask Him to lift your spirit as I tell Him of your love. So then, pray for one another as you lift your eyes above. Please let your hearts be joyful and let your spirit sing. For I am spending Christmas in heaven and I'm walking with the King. It was just a year after that poem was published that our longtime organist, Bo Olsen, died. And that's when I first encountered this poem and read it at her funeral. And have read it and thought of it on other occasions. And think of it now as I look back on, well, on people I have loved just recently who are spending Christmas with Jesus this year. I think of Sammy and Mike and Giles, and what a deal that must be, huh? It is also true that we can anticipate that the poem will be read, perhaps in memory of us, because we will one day spend our first Christmas with Jesus. Probably not this year, but at some point, and there's a carpe diem sentiment associated with that. I would imagine that most of us in this room have, in fact, spent more Christmases here than we will. And there will come a day when we will be face to face with the King and hear the heavenly choir. And it's impossible to imagine that in its fullness because it's not within our capability. It's also hard to imagine that without feeling a little bit of fear and trepidation to truly be home for the holidays. But as I think of what I remember, and I don't remember everything from the home in which I grew up, and when I think about what a blessing it is to have a home where I'm loved and to have been a part of creating homes for others where the love continues, it occurs to me that when I finally am home for Christmas in an ultimate sense, I ain't seen nothing yet. But for now, tonight, when we light the candles and sing some songs and think about the people that love us, that have loved us and we've lost them, and that we anticipate loving us for the next, well, until we're gone and beyond, I think how lucky we are to have the promise that when we go home for Christmas, the first words we hear will be, "I'm glad to see you. Welcome. Merry Christmas." Amen.